Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. James 1:12.
About this love. About this love. About this love. About this love. Love.
Hey, Sherelle here. I'm sitting here with Dale.
What's up?
And you are listening to the About This Love podcast. So today we're going to just talk about commitment.
Wait a minute. Hold on. You got to do the introductions. If you're going to do my job, you got to do it right.
I'm not doing it right?
You got to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube, About This Love, and also ingest our podcast, where podcasts can be ingested. Okay, now you continue on.
But you ain't say weird, so you ain't even do your intro right. So get out of here with all that.
They everywhere.
Our podcast is everywhere.
Google About This Love. They everywhere.
Okay, well, look, if y'all Google it and y'all don't find About This Love, I'm sorry. The links are in the description on YouTube and Facebook. And then also go over to divemedia.co and you can find you can find our podcast there as well.
Actually, you can find our YouTube there, but...
Oh, yeah, you can find our YouTube there. And you can find some other great podcasts on that website as well.
Shout out to Dive Media.
Yeah, shout out to Dive Media. We just did a roundtable talk with them. I don't know if you guys caught it or not. If not, it's also on our YouTube as well. It's also up on our different platforms. So podcasts, definitely, podcasting platforms. And you could definitely check that out. So back to what I was saying, I wanted to talk about commitment today and just how important it is that when you give someone your word, to keep your commitment.
Yeah.
And so there was a couple of scenarios that had just come across my radar because, Dale likes to say he don't watch TV and don't watch YouTube. But, I mean, just things pop up. And it's not that I'm searching for it, but it just stands out. And I want to speak to those things because, some of you all might be seeing these things as well. And you might try to form an opinion in your heart and in your mind. And then really, it's almost like, is that the Lord? So,
Yeah. I just think that oftentimes when we do see foolishness as believers, or when we do see things that are not up to snuff with the standards and requirements of the Lord, like I'm not saying we have to speak up, because I mean, you don't have to, but I mean, I feel like if someone actually comes to you and asks you, hey, Sherelle, what do you think about that? You know what I mean? I know you're a Christian. What do you think about people sleeping around? What do you think about sex before marriage? I feel like, it would be a false representation for you not to be able to speak on it from the perspective of the Lord. If you claim to be a follower of him, and if you keep the standards and statutes of the Lord yourself. Now, if you don't, then yeah, be quiet. Keep it, comments to yourself. You know what I'm saying? But if you do, well, what I'm saying is, like, I can't give you a perspective of the Lord and I'm out there doing, God knows what, You know what I'm saying? So I just feel like oftentimes the world has shut believers up or made them very ineffective because, one, they're not living out what it is they say they believe anyways. And the world would tell you, well, last week I saw you at the club, so what you talking about, just Jesus? And two, they don't really know what is required from them because they're not in tune with the Lord to really be able to speak on these matters. You know what I'm saying? Like when you look at the scriptures and, just look at the Lord and Paul and the disciples, when things around them in society were going to hell in a handbasket, they spoke to things and they spoke led by the Holy Spirit. So I feel like for us, oftentimes, throughout me and my wife's life before we got married and while we are married, currently married, we have had people come to us with questions about relationships and things like that. So it's like, yeah, we're speaking on things from the Lord's perspective and the mistakes that we've made and some of the things that we're able to learn from our mistakes. Praise be to God. It's only through him that we are able to see things for what they are, which is truth and the light, and be able to speak on it from that perspective. You know what I'm saying? So that's why we do the podcast. And our podcast is a direct revelation and a direct manifestation of the things that God has shown us and the things that we've experienced in our marriage and things that we've seen and heard and touched and felt. And we then come back and give it to you guys, and hope that you can learn from it and don't make some of the same mistakes that we made,
And really our prayer is that those who hear it, that their hearts can really receive not what we're saying, but what the Lord is showing us to share with you all.
Yeah.
So now we're going to start talking about commitments.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, they'll always want to interrupt somebody. Oh, man. So there was a couple of scenarios that kind of came up in the last couple of weeks. I don't know if you all have heard of it, and I'm not going to mention any names because, like, people have been drugged, and, you know, in the cancel culture, these people have been dragged enough, and it's almost like these are real life people. This is a real life scenario, but, you know, it really took me aback, and I had to check in with, you know, I had to check in with you, Dale, about it. The scenario is someone had, a family had adopted a young boy, and basically this young boy was rehomed. And I'm doing quotes because really he was placed in the foster care system to be readopted by someone else. This couple says that they are believers. I was just kind of like, wait a minute. I cringe because I'm just like, well, man, believers are just kind of, like, they're being drugged in the media, and not because of their belief, but because of their, and I won't even say it's a mistake, but because of their decision to rehome this child that they called their own. And really, we can find ourselves doing that in any type of relationship, and especially in marriage. You know, like, we're rehoming our husband to go and be single, or we're rehoming our wives to, like, be with someone else once things get difficult. You know, this particular child, he had autism and he had other conditions since birth, and they actually had him since he was one, and, you know, for a couple years after that. And so it, you know, it saddened me because I was like, wow, you know, these people who have lots of resources at their hands, they still feel like they're not adequate enough to parent this child. And I was just kind of like, with people having resources at their hands, like, there was a time where Dale and I have so many different resources, so many different couples, you know, at our hands. Shoot, we have the Lord, you know, at our hands that we can go to for guidance, for grace, for direction. And it's like, we still feel like in our marriage, we can fail. And on one hand, and I'm kind of bouncing around a little bit because I'm giving you the parallels of the situation, of the scenario, and then of what we tend to do in our marriage and these other important relationships. Because, you know, that young boy has seen this family as his family. This is really the only family that he's known for years. And now he's being, you know, he was given away. And on one hand, it could potentially be sad, and it could derail him from, like, growing up in the Lord. Even though he's autistic, I'm sure that the Lord gives everyone an opportunity to, like, just meet him and, you know, and just be loved on by him, you know, love on him and be loved on by him, because, you know, it's a relationship with the Lord that we have. So that's why I'm giving the parallels between that scenario and marriage, because I have found myself as a believer, you know, as someone who felt as though God has brought this man to me to marry. And I'm like, no, this is the Lord. I heard from him. Like, and I was so sure. I was so certain. But the second things got, you know, too difficult, it became too difficult, I was ready to bounce. I was ready to go, you know? And how we can't continue to do that. In certain scenarios, it may be different, but ultimately, the Lord wants us to endure. The Lord wants us to go through, because it's all for our maturity. And don't think that you can get into any relationship with anybody on this earth and not have to endure anything.
I think one of the things I thought about, because recently me and my wife, we had been reading and studying the story of Joseph and also Moses. One of the parallels that you see in anybody's life, forget the people in the Bible, even in real life, you know what I'm saying? Whether it's Bill Gates or Jay-Z or Arnold Schwarzenegger, like, anybody who has obtained a certain statue of greatness or of wealth, you know, but go back to Moses and Joseph, is that, you know, the Lord takes them through a level of suffering. And I feel like oftentimes the suffering is really to build a person's character. Because when you suffer, it does something to your soul. Joseph spent, you know, years of his life, you know, as a slave and behind bars. Ultimately, God exalted him, you know, in second in command in Egypt. And, you know, with Moses, you know, he experience, you know, he grew up, you know, as a son of a king, basically, and, you know, ended up spending 40 years of his life, you know, in the wilderness, you know, just a level of suffering. But oftentimes I feel like when one of the characters of the nature of people in the world is that they do not want to suffer. It's like, I love you until things get tough and then I'm out, you know? And mm-hmm. it's, and to be honest, I don't even like for people to say the word, I love you, to me, willy nilly, because oftentimes I'll challenge that, you know, like the other day I was at the chiropractor office, getting my back adjusted. And my chiropractor was like, the doctor's like, you know, yeah, man, you know, I love you, blah, blah, blah. And I just looked at him. I was gonna say, you know, first of all, you know, you don't know me. When people say I love, when he said it, I understood what he meant. But oftentimes I feel like we don't understand the totality of that word, you know, because in the scriptures, when it says that God loved, it says he gave. God loved and he gave. He gave himself. You know, he gave his son. His son gave himself, who was willing to suffer for people, who's like, you love me, so does that mean that you're willing to suffer for me and with me, or do you love me until the suffering and, you know, comes, or until I'm shown to you not to be as perfect as you thought I was? Mm-hmm. Is that the extent of your love? And I think that just for the culture in general, they don't love. You know, they're infatuated, but they don't love. And oftentimes, I wish people would just say, "Hey, I'm infatuated with you." You know, you beautiful, you hot, you make six figures, you know, you got a dope rap song, you sing a little dope track. I'm infatuated with you.
You drive a nice
car. You
know what I'm, I like your lifestyle.
And just call a spade a spade, you know what I'm saying? But they call it love. No, I love you, girl. I love you, boy. I love Jay-Z. Uh-huh. I love Beyonce.
I'm so in love with you. But 6 months later, I'm in love with someone else.
Yeah, the moment they do something or say something that you don't like no more, man, the baby's just whack. You know, it's like, nah, whoa, partner, you love. No,
you love me.
What I will say is that when a lot of that is because we are, of course, in a culture that is inherently godless. You know, God is love. So apart from God, how can I love? God is the embodiment. He is the totality of love. If I am godless, how can I love? There's no possible way that I could. That's like saying that I have a car, you know, but I'm walking on two legs. You know, I'm driving my car, but while walking on two legs, how's it even possible? You know, so I would tell. I just think that we use phrases and say things kind of willy nilly without really understanding or really wanting to grasp the true totality of what it actually in fact means. Because I'll tell you one thing right now, I love my wife. She loves me, and it's cost us a lot. You know, it's cost us a lot of suffering in our marriage, you know, from whatever standpoint. But it's like, you love, but at what cost? You know, and oftentimes people love, but they ain't trying to pay the price, you know, of what love actually costs. You know, so that's just kind of where what I was thinking about when you say being able to endure and doing what you said you're going to do, which comes because you said, I love you, but do you really love somebody? Because, you know, what is love? So oftentimes when people ask me questions or say things to me, I begin to like analyze everything that they're saying. And it's not to find fault in the person, but it's like, do you really understand what you're saying to me? Even my son's 7 years old, sometimes he'll say things to me. I'm like, son, do you really understand what you're saying? Yeah. What are you saying exactly? And he began to tell me, no, that's not what that means, son. Let me actually explain to you, son, what that means. Because my children, I do not want to raise children who use words willy-nilly. When you speak, I want it to be as God. I want your words to mean something and to bring life to people. Not just speak with willy-nilly, you know what I'm saying? Or speak just because you got a mouth and you can, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. You know what? It's funny. Well, it's not funny, but oftentimes you do tell me that when you do have conversations like on the job, that people just talk just to talk, and you know, they're not, and it doesn't mean anything. And it's like, we need to get back to a place where our words have meaning to someone. There was something I used to share with you, Dale. Actually, two things. One thing is, I remember when you first told me you love me, and because, you know, I felt like this relationship was from the Lord, I did not say I love you back right away. I think I waited like until I was on a trip, and I waited to say I love you back to you. And, you know, I thought about it. I prayed about it. And I said, well, do I love him? And we were still getting to know each other. And I was like, but do I love him to the degree in which, you know, I can love him? And at the time, yes, I did. Because, you know, now we're here. Now we are here. We're sitting together. We're doing this podcast together. We're doing life together. But I knew that when I said it, you know, it had to mean something. And during the time that I was waiting to say I love you back, I was just sitting there thinking, why do I love Dale? Why do I love you? And I mean, I really was asking the Lord.
Because you look good, that's why.
Because you look good?
Breath smell good.
Oh, your breath smell
smooth.
Good? He dressed smooth. Oh, Lord.
Every time I see him, I'm reminded of just how beautiful he is.
You know what? See, I'm trying to tell the listeners about God, and you sitting there talking about how smooth you think you are.
How smooth I was.
How smooth I was. Oh, nah, you still smooth, brother. Don't worry about it. At least to me, and that's all that matter, right?
Yeah.
Nah, yes.
To
that's
kids,
all that
matter. To the kids, too. Huh?
You got to be smooth to the kids?
Yeah.
Yeah, they always love daddy, so. But no, so the one thing that the Lord kept reiterating to me is that you love because I have loved you first. You know, you love because I loved you first, and that's the only reason. You know, that, or I won't say that's the only reason. I will say that is the foundation of why you love. And I mean, to me, that meant everything. That meant everything because I'm like, okay, Lord, you know, I'm being vulnerable with this person. You told me that we are to be married. Now, I didn't share that with Dale, but I just tucked that away in my heart. I wrote it down in my diary and I just tucked it away. And I was like, you know, I want it to organically happen. And now he's saying, I love you. And because I'm so excited about this new relationship, I don't just want to say it back. You know, I don't want to mess up. I wasn't fearful of messing up, but I was so cautious not to do everything, you know, that seemed right, but to actually take the time to walk this out. And I didn't know how long it would take, but I wanted to get to know you, Dale. I wanted to get to know him, you know, and while still trusting in the Lord. And the Lord gave me that answer. So I felt comfortable moving forward and saying, yes, I love you. Because I didn't want it to be, I love you because of your hair. Because one day you could lose your hair. I love you because of your looks. Because one day you can lose your looks. I mean, God forbid, but one day you could be in a fire and, you know, you may not ever look the way that you look. And if we base our love and we give our word that that's what we love about you and you lose that, and then what other foundation will we have to love one another? You know, I mean, we've seen time and time again where, you know, maybe a month after the wedding, a wife gets burned up, but she's still with her husband. And
we've seen time and time again. I ain't never seen it before.
I've seen that time and time again.
Oh, I'm like, I was like, yeah. I was like, what? I ain't never seen that before.
I just mean the different stories that I've read throughout the years. I've heard testimonies about people getting abused or people getting cancer or, you know, a spouse getting harmed or getting hurt. And he's not who they married. And so it's almost like you either hear, you know, the sad part is that the person leaves, you know, the other spouse leaves because that's not who I married, you know, that's their basis for leaving. And I mean, they feel justified in saying that. They feel justified in the divorce because, I mean, who's to say one day you may not be able to provide for me, but I marry you because you have money. Then what? I mean, then my love will go away. Then I feel justified in leaving you. And so that's why I want to go back to that scenario that I gave in the beginning of the podcast where this couple rehomed their adoptive child and they were saying, oh, well, things kept coming up that we couldn't handle. And I'm just kind of like, you know, if you say that this is the Lord, you can't handle, like the Lord has equipped you to handle. And if he didn't equip you, then are you praying for that equipment? Are you praying for the tools to get what you need for your child? I believe that it starts in the heart and in the mind, that when you say that somebody is yours or you have a relationship with someone, you say that you are my friend, you are my husband, you are my wife, you are my child. You have that responsibility now to walk that out because you are showing them what a husband is, what a father is, what a mother is. You know, you are that person in that role.
Yeah.
And if you put God on it, you're making God look like a liar.
Yeah.
Now, not to say that things will come up that you can't handle, but if the word says that God will not put on you more than what you can handle, I believe that because God is not a liar.
But I think the problem is people, oftentimes, we decide what we can and can't handle, you know?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We do decide what we can and can't handle. And we also decide on things that we could take on that the Lord did not tell us to take on.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the same with marriages. That is the same with relationships and just about anything that we commit ourselves to do in this life. And so, you know, I really feel strongly about this, you know, that we should get more serious about the word that we give to one another. I mean, I've even learned that in our marriage, Dale, that it's kind of like, oh, you would get upset because I would say, yeah, you know, I'll get back to you. Things will get heated in our conversation and I'll say, I'll get back to you. Let me just think about it. And I have thought about it, but I was very lazy and lax with getting back to you on, you know, the conversation because I'm like, oh, I don't want to do it. And if he don't bring it up, I won't bring it up. But that has in some ways tarnished your trust in my word.
Yeah. I mean, I think like one of the things that we have to come to a place, you know, as far as us believers, you know, if you're listening and you're not a believer, then this does not apply to you, you know. But I feel like we have to get to a place where, like God the Father, and like Jesus Christ, and like the Holy Spirit, our words have to mean something. So when we give our word, we have to understand and be willing to uphold what we said we would do, or just not say it at all. You know, it's interesting. I thought about how throughout me and my wife's marriage, we've thought about taking in certain folks into our household. And then we've prayed about it and got counsel from those who are much more mature than us in the faith. And, you know, like, yeah, you know, that's probably not wise. And oftentimes it's like, yeah, you're thinking about doing a good gesture, but you're still young in your marriage and you don't realize the kind of responsibility and strain it'll put on you. And sometimes you don't want to bring someone into your home trying to do something good, trying to be good, trying to be like God. Trying to be good, but then you end up not being able to, you know, it becomes too much pressure, stress, bills start going up, you ain't got the money to pay it, you pay out your money for food. It's like, and then you end up becoming a liar because you couldn't maintain something that you probably shouldn't have, you know, offered in the first place. So I think for us, that's just a perfect example, you know, or a practical example in our lives that we've done. You know, that we've had to talk about it and consider it. Like, nah, you know what? That's probably not the best thing to do right now because of A, B, C, and D. So it's just, and I feel like sometimes in that way, God gets glory because you're not saying that you will take on something only later to realize that you probably financially and, you know, and physically and psychologically probably couldn't take it on. Mm-hmm. So I feel like with the couple, they probably took off more than what they could chew or more than what they could bite. You know, and oftentimes people always trying to be good, you know, good, but good ain't God, you know, God is good, but good ain't God, you know, and I feel like God's not calling us to make good decisions. He's calling us to make God decisions. You know what I'm saying? So I just feel like whatever you say to anybody, whether it's a relationship to your friend, your mother, your brother, your spouse, your children, your job, whatever you say, consider whatever you're saying, consider it. Think about it. Pray about it. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times. And then when you give your word to that person or your response, make sure you're able to live up to what you say to them. You know, and I think the Lord actually says in Luke, you know, he talks about someone building a house. And he says, well, won't the person first consider the cost of building the house? Well, he says, whatever. Let's say the person didn't consider the cost of building the house and they built the house and now they're unable to finish the house. Won't everyone who looks at the house look at that person and ridicule them? Yeah, they will, because you started something that you could not finish, you know. And if it is in fact God, the Lord will give you the resources to finish it. I think that's just you know, all that I have for today.
No, I've really enjoyed our conversation today.
Thank you guys for tuning in to About This Love. Please follow us you know, on our different platforms, Facebook, About This Love, Instagram, YouTube. Please share our podcast with others and please comment. If there's some topics you guys want to hear, please let us know. We would love to talk about it. We would love to, you know, chat out with you on social media. Until next time, peace.